In 2013, Mike Babcock, who is now the coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, at that time he coached the Detroit Red Wings, was asked to give the convocation address at McGill University. He graduated from McGill in the 1980s with a degree in education. And as an aside, Mike Babcock is a mass-going, Sunday-by-Sunday Catholic. Towards the end of the address, he shared with the graduates a quote written by Charles Swindoll, a very respected evangelical preacher. And Mr. Babcock said that Scotty Bowman, who's won more Stanley Cups than any other coach in the history of the NHL, 9, and then 5 Stanley Cups working in the head office of the Detroit Red Wings and the Chicago Blackhawks. We can only dream what that must be like here in Calgary. Anyhow, Scotty Bowman gave to Mike Babcock this quote from Charles Swindoll. And to the grads at McGill, Mike Babcock said, "This is something you can take to the bank." He said, "I have it behind my desk, and I read it every day. It's entitled Attitude." And these are the words of Charles Swindoll. "The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on my life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It's more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failure, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It's more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a family. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in certain ways. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing that we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% of what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes." Mike Babcock says he reads this every day. There's something in these words that is important. And I want to think to you, with you now, about the original meaning of the word attitude. It goes back to the 17th century, and it was actually a technical term used in art. The attitude was the posture of the figure in the painting, or the attitude of the statue. So let's think about this original technical term of the word attitude in relation to how we live our lives. We have a choice each day as to how we will carry ourselves. What will our posture be? How will we present ourselves on the canvas of our everyday lives? Now, if you think about your attitude, how would you describe it? Think back over the last week. Have you been optimistic or pessimistic? Agitated or serene? Encouraging or cynical? Hopeful or doubtful? Attitude is a dimension of our life of faith that really, really matters. Attitude affects how we perceive God. It affects how we perceive ourselves. It affects how we perceive others. Attitude allows us to respond either positively or negatively to the great commandment: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now, I know that when my attitude is pessimistic, agitated, cynical, and doubtful, I can experience a deep sense of spiritual desolation. I feel cut off from God, I feel cut off from others, and I feel cut off from myself. Conversely, when my attitude is optimistic, serene, encouraging, and hopeful, I experience a deep sense of spiritual consolation and connection to God, others, and myself. So this morning, I want to do an attitude checkup with you. This is because, as Charles Swindoll says, life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% as to how we react to it. And our readings for today are so helpful with this attitude checkup. They tell us three things. Vows help to establish attitude. Vocation helps to form attitude. And verification empowers attitude. Let me unpack each of these in turn. Vows establish attitude. What is a vow? It is a means by which one person binds themselves to another. We think of the vow that a couple take in marriage. A religious person takes as they prepare to become a nun or a monk. A priest takes before ordination. We can appreciate that these vows establish attitudes. The marriage vow establishes the attitude of lifelong fidelity. The religious vow establishes an attitude of lifelong fidelity to serving Jesus Christ and his church. The point is this: when we make vows, they help to establish a particular focus, a particular attitude for our lives. And everyone here today who has been baptized, everyone here today who has been confirmed, whether you realize it or not, you have taken a vow. Now, we didn't sing it this morning because at this Mass we sing the same beautiful psalm every week. But take time to read the appointed psalm for today. It's taken from Psalm 40. And here we have a prayer that speaks with clarity about what is the vow of every baptized and confirmed Roman Catholic. And it goes like this. These are the words of David, king. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you've given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, here I am. In the scroll of the book it's written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. What is the vow that you took in your baptism, in your confirmation? It's this. You took a vow of availability. You said to God, here I am. You said to God, my ears are open, and what I want to do in my life is to delight in your will. That is a vow that establishes your attitude. It establishes day by day this kind of understanding. It's as if we are saying, come what may in life, I am going to cultivate an open ear. Come what may in life, I know that my life in this world is about knowing and delighting in God's will. I will live each day with this in mind. So remember this. You have taken a vow of availability. And so in your attitude, how available are you to God? Can you honestly say in your heart of hearts, I delight to do the will of God? Can you truly say in your heart of hearts that my ears and my eyes are open because I want to know more the Word of God? I want to live under the magisterial teaching of the Roman Catholic Church. To be available, to have this kind of an attitude, is to establish what it is to live out your vow of baptism and confirmation. So we have vows that establish our attitude, and vocation forms our attitude. A vocation is a calling. Think about marriage again. On a person's wedding day, a man and a wife, they say their vow to one another. But then from there is established a way to live out that vow. Their vocation of marriage forms the attitude of how they will live. Similarly, with a priest or with a religious, when the religious takes the habit or the priest has hands laid on him by the bishop, the vow he makes on that day will then be lived out through his vocation. He will form a certain way of living. What is our vocation? St. Paul couldn't put it more clearly than he did this morning in Corinthians. To the church of God that is at Corinth, or to the church of God that is at St. Peter's. To those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. It's so simple in a way. Your vocation is to be formed to become a saint. And if you live every day with that attitude, I am to become a saint, that is going to change and help influence how you live. We cannot dictate what will happen each and every day, but we can today say that I have an opportunity to be more and more conformed to Jesus Christ. To be, in the words from our reading from Isaiah, the kind of person that is a light to others. One of the prayers that I have found most beneficial in helping me day by day form a vocational attitude is the Serenity Prayer in its entirety. And I would like to pray it now. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Everyone knows that part of the prayer. But do you know the rest of the prayer that goes like this? Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Amen. I try to pray this prayer every day, and I find it to be an amazing prayer because it helps to form day by day my attitude, because it helps me to remember my vocation, and it centers it in the person of Jesus Christ. If you Google the complete Serenity Prayer, you will find it easily. Do it. Put it on some sort of device where you can turn to it, memorize it, and allow it to help to shape your attitude. So far, I have said that vows establish attitude, vocation forms attitude, and verification empowers attitude. So what do I mean when I say verification empowers attitude? To verify something is to know that it is true. For the Christian who knows that our vocation is to become saints, what needs to be verified is what do we think of Jesus Christ? Twice in today's gospel, John the Baptist verifies Jesus' identity. At first he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then at the end of today's gospel, he says, "This is the Son of God." Do you believe with all of your heart? Do you believe with all of your mind that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Because if you waver on this, if you're doubtful about this, you cannot live with an empowered sense of Christ's presence. However, as we come and we pray for a deepening conversion to Jesus, when we allow him to be the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, we are then able to hear the Father say to us of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And this is at the heart of it all. There is nothing more important in each day of our life than to cultivate that ear that is learning more and more to listen to Jesus. For we know that Jesus is the one who is veritas. Jesus is the truth. And because of this, and this is so important, there are days when we just bottom out, where our attitude is just down in the dumps. And on those days particularly, we have to remember the one who is the center of our life, Jesus Christ. We have to remember that it's not ourselves who takes away our sin, it's Jesus who takes away our sin. And the more we learn to live verifying the truth of who Jesus is day by day, the more empowered we will be. My beloved friends, your attitude is one of the most important things that you influence day by day. That is why I want you to remember today the 3 points I've made. Your vow establishes your attitude. Your vocation forms your attitude. And the way you verify your faith empowers your attitude. Our attitude will indeed be represented by the posture with which we present ourselves each day on the canvas of our lives. Now, I don't think any of you is ever going to coach the Toronto Maple Leafs. I don't think any of you is ever going to have 14 Stanley Cup rings. But that's okay. We are called to be who we are. But surely, if someone like Scotty Bowman, if someone like Mike Babcock have found inspiration in these words and have understood the importance of attitude to their lives, we can be inspired and we can learn from their examples. Because it is our posture, it is our attitude that matters. For remember, the only thing we can do is play the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% of what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. And so it is with you. To be an adult, to be mature, is to say, yes, it's true. I am responsible for my attitudes.